Thanks for tuning in to this week's message. For more resources and information about Cedar Valley, please visit cvchurch.org.
We're going to read our primary passage this morning, so if you would stand to your feet. For those of you new to Cedar Valley today, you might ask, I wonder if they're going to stand up every time they read the scripture. We will not stand up every time. This is the only time we'll do it during the message portion, but we do this because it's our way of acknowledging that this is God speaking to us. This is His word, and we acknowledge that in the room. So Matthew chapter 5, Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, we have some Bibles that are free out on the tabletops. There's English and Spanish, so take the one that works for you. You can have that. It's a gift from us. We want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to have and own a Bible. So get your Bible on your way out, or feel free to slip out and get your Bible even now if you'd like. Matthew chapter 5. So our verse today is verse 4, but it wouldn't be worth us standing up for verse 4 because it's so short. So let's just start at verse 1. We'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we'll pray. So 5, starting at verse 1. One day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Verse 3, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Verse 4, read it with me. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, especially today. The word today for us is going to be extremely impactful to nearly every person standing in this room today. And so God, we ask that you would speak to us in such a way that when we drive away from campus, we would say, that was God himself speaking to me. Only God would know that part of my heart. Only God is aware of that pain in my life. Only God could have seen that or could have known that. And so God, we give you full permission today. As we already sang, I surrender all. We give you full permission to have access into our entire heart today. In Jesus' name we pray, and together everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, so we're week 2, and our primary text is, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You ever heard the word counterculture? It's a word used a lot. This word is used to describe the Beatitudes, for sure, Jesus, for sure. Here's the definition of counterculture: when values and norms of behavior differ substantially from those of mainstream society. So surely these are upside down types of words of Jesus. These are words that when you read them, they get into the heart, like they pierce the heart. Dads in the room, mothers in the room, like when your little girl, like my little girl yesterday, she looked at me and she was playing, she kind of froze time for a second, looked me in my eyes, and she's like, Dad, you're my favorite. And I'm like, ever? And she's like, ever, ever. That like pierced my heart. All the parents in the room know exactly what I'm talking about, those words that they say when they're so little and young, they pierce our heart. Listen, that's the prayer of today's message. Not my words, but God's words. May they pierce your heart in such a way that it almost kind of shakes you at your core. I'm serious. When I prayed, when you drive away today, I want you to feel like only God could have said that to me. Nobody knows. Nobody could have said it to me that way. The Sermon on the Mount in general is perhaps the most popular, the most famous of Jesus' teachings. It's so set apart that it actually has its own call number in the Library of Congress, just the Sermon on the Mount. So certainly this teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, is spectacular. Now, when we get to this verse, what's neat about this particular verse, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted, is that the translation of the verse then to now is like the same, right? So the word mourning means today what it meant then. And the word comfort, as we know it, meant the same then as it does today. So it should be pretty easy. We don't really have to do the hard work of understanding what it means to mourn and grieve. We certainly do those things, but it means the same thing today. And the same with comfort. We know comfort, right? Comfort, we know what comfort means, what it feels like. It meant then what it means today. So we don't need to do the hard work of understanding those two terms, thankfully, because they mean the hard work, though, is certainly the word blessed. That's the hard work, and we kind of got into this last week. We need to really understand this word blessed in order to like wrap our minds around this text for today. So this word blessed, Neil introduced it to us last week. It's the word makarios, right? Makarios, which means happy, right? It means happy. So it'd be fair to say, happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now you see why we need to understand this word happy, so this verse kind of makes total sense to us. So happy today certainly does not mean happy when Jesus talked about makarios. Different kind of happy, because you'd agree with me that happy today is like the accumulation of things, right? It's landing the big job. Happy is dependent on circumstances. I'm happy when things are going well. So happy today certainly does not mean what happy meant that day, because that day happy meant true inner contentment in spite of my circumstances. That's what happy meant that day. Certainly happy today is not understood the way it was understood then. Again, Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Question for you would be, what good comes from mourning or grief? What good comes from our grief? Or how can grief be good? I know this is a question you've asked. I know this is a question you've been asked. When it comes to grief, 9 out of 10 people are experiencing grief today, right now, in this moment. 9 out of 10 people have dealt with grief as far back as you can remember. Grief is a part of life. This verse, if we were to contextualize it, would say, happy are the sad, for they will be comforted. Happy in my sadness. I'm telling you, this word today is going to get into a place in your heart that you maybe haven't touched in a long time. I told the prayer team this morning, and I meant it. I grew up in church. I realized what a privilege that is. But when you are raised in the church, especially in a pastor's home, you get to see things that a lot of people don't get to see. And one thing, you know, I appreciate a lot of things growing up in the church, but one thing that I saw that was taught without ever spoken about was this idea that when you are going through really tough times, you just need to suppress them and be joyful. You just got to figure out a way to tuck those things away. You don't talk about those things. You just kind of move on. God is good all the time. And in your heart, you're like, no, he ain't. Not all the time, some of the time. Can we just be honest in the room? That's what I would think to myself. Today's word certainly is going to get into the hearts of people today. The way that this has caused me grief in study, I trust that this is going to cause you to have to wrestle through some things that maybe you've tucked away for a long time. And it won't be anything I say. It'll certainly be God's word. Psalm 84:5-8. This will kind of help set the tone for today. The psalmist writes, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. Here we have the mourning and the comfort. God's presence being the refreshing springs. They will continue to grow stronger. Psalm 23:4. You know this. If you know it, say it with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death meaning grief, mourning. You are comfort. Grief and comfort. Blessed are those who mourn. Happy are those who are sad, for they will be comforted. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. What did Jesus mean that day? That day as he sat on the hillside and was surrounded by lots of people. What did he mean that day? And really the question I ask is, who was in the large crowd? I mean, Jesus just finished saying, he starts his message with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of God, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The second thing he says now is, blessed are those who mourn. Maybe Jesus, as they stood around him, saw downcast disposition. We know that there was a blend of people. If you have your Bible, you just go back a few verses, chapter 4. Let me read to you 4:23. I'll just give you an idea of who was around Jesus that day. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds, not small crowds, large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all of Judea, from the east of the Jordan River. Listen, this dude went viral. He was viral. People in great desperation. Listen, if you had a terminal disease, and you had exhausted all your resources trying to find a cure, and you heard that this man was healing every single kind of disease, my friend, you would follow him as well and wait your turn to be touched by the hand of Jesus. So for sure there were people in great desperation following him. For sure the people who he had now healed were following him. They just probably had this sense of gratitude, like, I'm going to follow this dude wherever he goes. He changed my life. He fixed my leg. He healed my heart. He healed my mind. Whatever the healing was, they followed him. There was the religious leaders who were confused by this, like, who in the world does this guy think he is? Right? There's these disciples of his, like the inner circle, and then the hundreds of disciples. My friends, this guy is sitting down and he is surrounded with a large, large, large crowd. And the first thing he begins to teach is, blessed are those who are poor in spirit and see their need for God. Yes. The second thing he says is, blessed are those who grieve, for they will be comforted. I don't know about you, but my personality, you can see the grief on my face. Some of y'all are like me. You walk into a room and people know something's not right. Some of y'all, you got the ability to like trick us. You leave and everyone's like, if I could just be happy like him, if I could just be happy like her, if my life was put together like theirs. The truth is, we got grief happening in our lives all the time. I mean, we carry significant pain and suffering with us. And maybe Jesus saw grief on their face. Maybe he felt the desperation, the confusion, the excitement, the anger in the room or on that hillside that day. And he knew, he certainly knew that the comfort that they needed was actually standing right in front of them. You're going to love this. Jesus brings fulfillment to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to comfort those who mourn and to provide for those who grieve. Jesus is now saying this. The kingdom of heaven has come in me, Jesus, and therefore those who mourn will receive comfort. I, Jesus, am your comfort. And I'm standing right in front of you. All of you who grieve today, just so you know, I am your comfort. Amen. I know it sounds good, but it doesn't make any sense because the pain continues to live on within me. The suffering that I'm enduring, the burden that I'm carrying. How can I be happy when I'm sad? How can I be blessed in my grief? That doesn't make sense to me. And it didn't make sense to a lot of people that day as well. And I'm telling you, the key to this verse is that word blessed, makarios, happy in spite of circumstances. What if I told you today you can experience great happiness alongside your sadness? I'm not going to make a fake promise to you that if you come at the end of this service, you can lay down your sadness, pick up your happiness, and go on your way. That wouldn't be true. The truth is, you can come and pick up this idea of happiness, this comfort, and take your sadness with you because it ain't going to stay here. It's going to go with you. The thing that's keeping you up at night right now will likely live on in you. It's the price we pay. Grief is the price we pay for losing people we love so much. Of course it's going to hurt. That mother of yours was in your life for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. How could you ever be happy without her? Grief is the price we pay for the people we love so much. I want to hurt when I think of people in my life that I've lost because they had great impact on my life, but I can be also happy in my sadness. I know it's confusing. It's confusing. Stick with me. The beauty of this beatitude is that this beatitude, Jesus himself is giving us permission to grieve and mourn the brokenness of our world. I told you that when I was young, I saw it swept under the rug. Jesus is saying, take it out from underneath the rug and let's talk about this stuff. Let's be honest with ourselves. Jesus is encouraging us to be honest in our pain, to be honest with our brokenness. Like you don't have to keep it down inside. You can live with this. We can and we should fully enter into the grief that we all experience in life. I'm going to say this once, and I'll definitely say it again. Some of the most impactful men and women that I've ever come across in my life have also been some of the men and women who have experienced great pain and suffering in their life. God has a way of using the very difficult things in your life to bring about unexplainable compassion in you. The reason why some of you are so effective is because you actually tap into the pain of your life. Your encouragement hits people so hard because they see this beautiful balance of happy and sad living together. My friends, it's okay. It's okay to have happiness in your life with a heavy heart. It's okay to grieve things in your heart, in your life that hurt you while also experiencing great joy in your walk with Jesus. I'm going to let you into my life a little bit because there's layers of grief. When we talk about pain and grief, there are layers to grief. There are some things that we grieve that don't really change much about life, but it's so true that there are some things that we have endured that have changed our life. Many of you would stand in agreement with me today to say some of the greatest pains of my life have changed my life. They've had an impact on my life, not just a positive impact. There's been negative impact on my life because of things that I've endured. I'll start with one. My cousin Cheryl, a year ago, 46 years old, raising four children by herself, died one day of a seizure. Completely unexpected, left four children here. Cheryl was one who I loved to laugh with. You buried a family member that too soon. She battled deep pain, depression, anger. Life without Cheryl is just not the same. I used to call her just to make her laugh. And we would laugh, 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 say I love you and get off the phone and go back to living. I miss Cheryl. Many of you have buried people who you miss as well. Just a year ago, next week, we buried my grandma, the last of my four grandparents. And yes, I'm holding her purse, and no one's going to hate on that. Nobody's going to hate on that. Say something. Say something. Yeah. Say something. Let's go. walking the streets of downtown Denver with my grandma, my dad's mom, and she was such a joy. She had a hard life. She was married at 15 years old. She was a migrant worker in South Texas, right at the border. Her and my grandpa made a migration up to Michigan and would later raise all their children there and overcame significant obstacles. And when my grandfather passed, like many couples do, it didn't take her very long and she herself passed away. It was actually difficult to see my parents bury their parents, and some of you have already experienced that. And I'll just say this, I'm not ready for my parents' turn. I'm not ready for that. Some of you have buried your parents, and that grief is in you, especially on certain days or certain holidays or certain meals or certain smells or certain songs or certain places. It's okay. It's okay to pause and to be like, I miss my mama. I miss my grandmother. I miss my cousin. A little bit more personal, when Aiden was born, Aiden's awesome. Aiden got baptized last week, but when Aiden was born, it was completely unexpected to our family, and I'll just be clear, my grief does not come because of his Down syndrome. I'm not sad because of that. I was more just confused. I was rattled. I was foggy. It hurt me deep, and to be honest, it's taken me years to come to terms with how do I actually parent somebody who has, you know, significant challenges in his life. He had a hole in his heart. He had oxygen until he was like 2 years old. I mean, he has faced great challenges in his life. And as his father, I struggled with it. Still, there are moments where I struggle with it. And it comes out of me in anger and confusion and hurt. Sometimes I hurt for him, not feeling sorry for him, but I hurt for him because I don't know what it feels like to be him and to be seen that way every time you walk into a place that's public. And when you don't look like everybody else, people tend to stay looking at you a little bit longer than they maybe should. And it's not easy to see this all come together, yet his joy is so different. And you would all agree with that. His joy is different. His heart is so pure. He actually brings me great comfort. I'm just opening up my heart to say there is grief in my life when it comes to raising him specifically because of pain that I had in my life. I could tuck it away and just tell you it's the best thing on planet Earth, but I'd be lying to you. I bear the responsibility to be honest that there are some things that hurt me deep. And while I hurt deep, I still have to have joy in my walk with Jesus. And I still have to live and show up for other people, my other children, right? Some of you, your heart hurts when it comes to your child because of the things that they're facing, the challenges that they face. They're grown up and they still have challenges. And you might feel embarrassed by some of the decisions you make. And so you'll just kind of be, you know, like, I'll just tuck that away and hopefully no one asks about it. I'm saying don't tuck it away. Be honest about it. It's okay. It's okay to be a little broken and happy at the same time. Jesus is giving you permission to do that. Blessed are those who mourn. Happy are those who are sad, for they will be comforted. And he, Jesus, is your comfort. And he's standing right in front of you saying, you don't have to hide this stuff. I'm with you. I will bring you comfort. After Aiden was born, a few years later, we had our little girl and we were so thrilled. And she died the day she was born. Her name was Annalise. This picture is a picture of me with my dad. And I begged, I think I've told you all this, I begged God to bring her back to life. Because in this, it says right here, let's see, he healed them all. Whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed or dead, he healed them all, but not this one. And I held it against them for a little bit while I was still preaching Sundays. I know, but you can't talk about it. You just got to show up like this warrior you aren't and pretend like it's all good. And like you can sing, and we actually sang on the way to the hospital that morning the song of He's a Good, Good Father. That song was on repeat on the way to the hospital to deliver Annalise. We were overjoyed, our little girl finally. And then it ended up being bad, bad father on the way home. I was ticked off. I could not believe that this was taking place. The worst was when my friend, who was the owner of the funeral home, came and put her in a car seat, covered her with a blanket, and drove her off. That was tough because I wanted to take her home with me. Yeah, It's okay to have brokenness and grief in your life while also experiencing great joy in your life all at the same time. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Happy are those who are sad, for they will be comforted. Listen, I'm just giving you some of my own pain, but you've got your own pain. Some of you parents, you've buried a child, and you're not supposed to bury your children, but you've buried a child, and it hurts deep. You've buried somebody like a child. You've buried somebody. And when they left, it left you broken inside. Your life has never been the same since then. Jesus says to you today, happy are those who are sad, for they will be comforted. When she passed again, I kind of have my go-to default system, which is anger, pain, frustration, and that's what it did while still doing ministry. For the protection of my family, I'm not going to get into any kind of details, but we've endured great tragedy. Many people in this room, according to statistics, unfortunately, you will say that's also part of our story, but maybe you or someone you love has been dehumanized through the tragedy of abuse. Life-changing trauma that leaves you powerless, angry, and confused. And since that happened to you or someone you loved, it's changed you. It's changed you, as it should. It's the price we pay. Grief is the price we pay for loving somebody. When you've been betrayed by someone you love and you've been betrayed by someone you trusted, it hurts you deep, doesn't it? And it comes out sideways, and you haven't come to terms with it at all. And Jesus is saying to you, as he's saying to me, blessed are those who mourn, for they will experience the comfort of God. Happy are those who are sad. Young people, you're in the room. Maybe you, the pain of divorce as a kid, your parents divorced when you were little, and the pain of not having a parent in the room, in the house, maybe sharing holidays, hurts you deep. And you don't talk about it, but it hurts you deep. And when you're by yourself, you're flooded with tears because it hurts you. And you don't know when you should even talk about it. You don't want to ruin the occasion. You don't want to burden your friend with another one of these sad stories, so you just kind of muscle up a little bit, but it has an impact on your life. I walk onto the football field with football players every fall, high schoolers. You can see the pain on their face. I walk into classrooms, teach 9th graders and 11th graders. They don't have to say anything. You see it on their face. Some of you walk into church and there's a happy usher doing their very best to override their own grief to greet you with some joy, and we see it on your face. I see it on your face. Even now, I see it on your face. I see the pain, the hurt, the struggle, the confusion. I see it. I see it as we worship God and lift our hands. The Spirit of God moves in this place. He can sense it and feel it. He's the one that softens your heart. He's the one that calls you close to him because he is comfort. Parents in the room experiencing a broken or failed marriage or a relationship, it's so easy to see the pain. The elderly in the room, our seniors, people I love so much. The disease that's attacking your body, your loneliness, has you feel in such pain, confusion, isolation. We are who we are today because of what we've endured. That's why we have an edge. That's why we have walls of protection That's why our insecurities surface at times. That's why we react the way we do. That's why we get angry. That's why we get frustrated. And Jesus on that hillside that day, he saw the pain. There's a reality to our pain that often lives in the depths of our hearts, and it never really comes out. Some of you would say, the grief of my life is the regret of my past. I think of myself and I'm disgusted with myself. I'm disgusted with some of the decisions I made. I'm disgusted that I would allow that. I'm disgusted that I did that. I get frustrated when I see myself. I want you to know God is a healer and a redeemer of your past. Jesus is acknowledging our pain and encouraging us to be honest about our pain. And he promises to be with us in our pain. Remember I said that when you drive away today, that I want you to feel like God spoke to me in a way that only he could? These are those moments where he's going to begin to speak to you and say, hey, listen, that one thing that you've hidden away for a long time, I just want you to know, I saw it, I'm with you. It's not going to hold you up in life. We're going to figure out a way to have a beautiful balance of joy and sadness at the same time. What's the difference between believers who grieve and unbelievers who grieve? It's one word. What is it? It's hope. We grieve, but we grieve with hope because that day of restoration will come. Your complete healing that you long for so bad. The healing of your body, the disease, the healing of your heart. The brokenness from the relationship, the brokenness from the betrayal, the brokenness from the abuse, your complete healing will come. Total restoration will come to you one day. That's the hope we have. You will be fully restored. It's the hope we have. But in the meantime, Makarios, can you find happiness despite your sadness today? There's joy in your suffering. Matthew 11:28 says, cast your cares and heavy burdens upon me, your grief, and I will give you rest, your comfort. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries, pain, and cares to God. He cares about you, comfort. Some people say, there's joy in the morning. Yes, there's joy and sadness in the morning. Next time someone says, there is joy comes in the morning and sadness. Both. Together. That's part of my life. And it's part of yours too. And it's okay. It's okay to have one eye crying and one eye smiling. It's okay. Happy are the hurting. Happy are the hurting, for they will be comforted. The comfort that we speak of is his presence. He's with. You know that the greatest gift he gave you was his Holy Spirit. He's with you always. The greatest mistake that I've seen believers make over the years is that this moment on a Sunday morning is really their own only encounter with the living God. And then Monday through Saturday, they go and kind of take the bull by the horns all by themselves. And they can't wait till Sunday where they can get back into God's presence. Listen to me. Jesus that day when he said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. He is saying to you, I am your comfort. And I will go with you everywhere, all the time, every time. His presence is his gift to us. His presence. So when we leave today, we're taking his presence with us. We're taking his presence. Some scholars say that this morning in this beatitude here is really in reference to the condition of our world, the sin of our world, and it's people whose heart breaks for the condition of the world today. And there is certainly truth to that for sure, because I know many people in this room spend significant time interceding, weeping over this community and over this nation and over the world, for sure. For sure, for sure. But we're not gonna jump over the idea that this mourning, this grief is within our own selves. situations that we've brought upon ourselves and situations that others have brought upon us. We don't need to pretend that we don't have pain. This church is a safe place to be honest about your pain. That's the culture of this church. You don't have to tuck it away in here. This is a safe place to be honest about your pain, to open the door of your pain, and to let Jesus in. So if I had to wrap this whole thing up in one simple phrase that we call a big so what. And if you're new here, the big so what's, our aim of the big so what is that this would be somewhat sticky, that you would think about it through the week. So our big so what today is that the reality of my pain is met with the reality of his presence. There's a reality to my pain, but there's also a reality to his presence. So the next time you feel riddled with pain, just know there's also a reality to his presence right now. Close your eyes right then and there, wherever you are, when you're filled with pain, and just say, Jesus, I need your presence right now. I need to feel your presence right now. I need to feel your presence right now. I need to feel your presence, your very real presence right now. I need your comfort. I need you to help me keep the right perspective. Keep my heart pure in this. Don't allow my anger to take over. Don't let my frustrations take over. God, thank you for reminding me. Thank you for reminding me. You've got this. You've got him. You've got her. You've got this under control. You're a God who heals. You're a God who restores. God, help me in my pain. Help me to be happy in my sadness. I'm happy in my sadness. I am happy in my sadness. A beautiful balance of both. I'm happy and I'm sad because of your comfort in my life. So here's what we're going to do. I promise you, there's nothing to lay down. There's only something to pick up. I want you to come pick up your comfort, which is his presence. It's just sort of like this symbol of coming to take home, like, God, this is my way of acknowledging the pain of my life, but I want to take the presence with me. There's going to be a balance of both. So I'm not going to just stand to your feet and come forward. If that's you, like, I'm going to take that. I'm going to be the happiest sad person you know. I'm going to be the happiest sad person you know. I'm going to be a beautiful blend of both. I will hurt, but I will also find my joy in his presence. If that's you, just come forward right now. Don't wait on anybody else. Nobody walks alone, so ask somebody. Do you want me to go with you? I'll go with you, but you might just come by yourself right now, but don't wait. Don't hesitate. Just come forward right now. Come on, just come forward right now. Don't wait on anybody. Come forward right now. I'm going to be the happiest sad person I know. I'm going to do it. I'm going to overcome this. I'm going to allow God into my heart. I'm going to do it. We're going to do it together. We're going to find that joy. We already got the sadness. We're going to find the joy. Jesus. I'm going to find the joy this morning. I'm going to take the joy with me. I'm going to take that presence with me. Come forward quickly. Come forward. Prayer team, come and help me pray for those that are up here. Come on. Beautiful people, come on. It's a beautiful balance of both. Come on. We're gonna wait. It's the whole purpose of us being here right now. Come on. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Happy are those who are sad, for they will be comforted. Father, those who have responded this morning, you know the ache of their heart, the pain deep inside. You know exactly what it is. You said that we would be blessed for our grief, that we would find happiness in our sadness. So our response today is we're accepting the comfort of God in our life that can only come from God in her life. Your comfort will only come from God. His presence, His presence, His presence. We're often tempted to go the other way from God, to resist Him because we blame Him. He is saying, come to me. Come to me. Don't avoid me. Come to me. I am your comfort. I am your comfort. I will restore. I will restore your life. I will restore you. I will restore you. I'll give you back what's been taken from you. You can be happy and sad at the same time. You can be happy and sad at the same time. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now I pray you would feel the warmth of His embrace in this moment right now. You would feel the warmth of His embrace. That you would feel the warmth of His embrace because He loves you, He cares for you, He's here to bring you great comfort. He's here to bring you great comfort as you grieve, as you experience grief in your life. He is here to bring you great comfort. He will surround you with people who will also express their love for you, and they will comfort you in their own ways. I want you to always identify that as God comforting you because He cares for you. Do me a favor, look me in the eyes, and I'm going to let you go just real quick. In my world, I got a lot of pastor friends, and so many of them are actually right now today preaching in different churches. Some of them are church planting. So I've got a really good friend in Ohio. I've got a friend in Minnesota. I've got a friend in Texas. I've got a friend in Colorado. I've got a couple friends that are church planting, like they're brand new churches, just weeks into a church plant because the best season to plant a church just passed, and so they're doing it, right? One of my friends I was talking to, and he's preaching today. I don't know what he's preaching on, but when we were talking this week, nonstop, church isn't starting the way he hoped it would. Everyone wants like a church like this. It's not going very well. Got some serious relationship problems within his own family. They were part of the church. I mean, it's bad. And some stuff happening at home. Just, I mean, he weeping. And he just getting started. And it just so happened that I was studying this, and I'm like, can you find a way to be the happiest sad guy on Sunday morning? Because I, you know, we may think in this condition, I'm not going to go good for nothing. I can't do nothing good in this condition. If people knew the state of my mind, I mean, I've contemplated some serious violence. I'm serious. I just chose to give it to God. Amen. Like you have. I'm asking you a question. Can you find a way today to be the happiest sad guy you know for a moment? To be the happiest sad girl you know for a moment? Just while this season lasts in you. And maybe it'll pass one day, and maybe it won't. But the question is, can you just find the happiness with the sadness? Allow Jesus to be your comfort. He said, happy are the sad, for they will be comforted. How about that? Find your joy despite your pain. Find your joy in spite of my circumstances. Find my joy, Makarios. Makarios. In spite of happiness, in spite of my pain. Happiness, joy, the Bible says, is like a medicine. Joy and laughter is like a medicine. Maybe you got to go buy you a dad jokes book. Honey, make me laugh. Come on, honey, make me laugh. I'm about to get sad. Make me laugh. Joy, in spite of pain. In spite of pain, because it's there. And God's working. He's working in you. He's working in you. He's working in you. He's working in you. He loves you. He's working in you. Joy, happiness, 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 happiness. In spite of Jesus, you know our hearts and you see the truth within us. This ain't funny at all. Some of this is like life and death stuff. Tired of hurting like this. Sick and tired of crying myself to sleep. Tired of this pain. tired of this confusion. I'm sick and tired of this frustration. I'm sick and tired of not having answers. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hurting like this. I'm tired of it. It makes no sense. I try to show up and other people are being happy about the things that I'm sad about. The things are working out great in their life that I want to be great in my life, and it doesn't seem to be. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Just like those people on that day on the hillside were tired of it. They were tired of it. Tired of it. Sick and tired of it. But then you said, blessed are those who mourn, who hurt, who break. For they will be comforted. So that's what we ask for today, is the comfort that comes only from heaven. And we'll do the hard work of finding the happiness in our sadness. The happiness in our sadness. The happiness in our sadness. Would you say that? Happiness in my sadness. Happiness in my sadness. Happiest in my sadness. Happiness 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 in my sadness. Then I'll get to know your comfort. Your comfort is your presence. Your presence goes with me everywhere, always, all the time. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.